I want us just to pray, and something's been coming up to me in the spirit here recently. Have y'all, let's just pray for a second. First, Father, we just thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Sundele moso vos ve amoro abase me esto ora. Manginke bokofleblo babota chitide. Hey, hey, hey. Yep. Joy be in this place this morning in Jesus' name. Joy be in this place. Glory God. I see a flood of joy. I see a flood of joy. A flood of joy. Ha, 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 ha. Ah, yeah. We won't start this year like we ended the last one. It'll be a flood of joy. A flood of joy. I know that many people have been attacked over the end of the last course of the year. And that was not just some arbitrary attack. It was not just something that just happened. There was a pointed attack against you. There was a pointed attack against this house, Boomerang. There was a pointed attack, and it was for a reason, because you are doing things that other churches don't. Yeah. You as a people have decided to be who God's called you to be. You're doing things that other people don't. In Jesus' name. And that attack now has fallen to the wayside. It's not that it will stop, but you will have my victory in it. You'll have my victory in your homes. You'll have my victory in your life. You'll have my victory in your body. You'll have my victory in your finances. You'll have my victory in your protection. You'll have my victory in deliverance. You'll be delivered out of them all. And the joy will dip down into the wells of salvation. My joy will dip down into the wells of your salvation and draw up the manifestations of your salvation. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah. I want us to do, the Lord's given me several things to handle here. Let me just make some notes. All right. Because I don't want to forget what he said. All right. Glory to God. Have you ever heard Joel Osteen when he starts out his message and he holds up his Bible. And what does he say? This is my Bible, right? And then he goes on to say several things. Now, I want you to know that Joel did not get that on his own. That didn't start with Joel. It's cool, but it's very good. And one of the things, the reason why they do that is a part of Christianity is confession. Confession is a major part of Christianity. Matter of fact, what you confess and say out of your mouth, the Bible says is who you will be. And so when they stand up and say, this is my Bible, in other words, you're taking ownership of this thing, it's mine. And you know that this is the word of life. And then, but his father, John Osteen, is the one who started that. I was not too long ago watching a video of John Osteen. And let me tell you about John Osteen. A lot of people think Joel Osteen is like, you know, weak and stuff like that, because all they see is the TV face. That's not a weak ministry. It's a powerful ministry. And a lot of people, you know, you think it's easy to run something like that. Well, why don't you have millions of people listening to you, right? And it's one of those things where some people need to back off, right? They need to watch their mouth. And they need to watch their mouth, right? Now, here's one of the things, though, but I'm going to tell you what. His dad, part of the power that he got to be who he is today is because his dad was a powerhouse in the spirit. John Osteen was a man of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. John Osteen was a strong man of God. And he would say this. Now, I got a copy of this. I looked it up during worship. And it says, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God, and I boldly confess. My mind is alert, My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this has been coming up to me. This is my Bible. And, we may change it over time, but this is pretty good. What he wrote is pretty good. What he said is pretty good. As a matter of fact, every bit of that is scripture just laid out in modern language. That's scripture there. Now, I want you to stand up, and I know everybody might not have the printed word with them. You might have your iPhone or your iPad, and if you don't have it with you, you might have a Bible that's in the back of the chair in the front, in the chair in front of you. But I want you to hold this up, and I want you to receive this today. The Word says that when we believed, and therefore we spoke. Now, let me ask you this question. Is your life changing today?
Yes.
Are you hearing an incorruptible Word today?
Yes.
Are you hearing something that will change your life today?
Yes.
All right, well, then this is not just another service. And this is your Bible. So let's speak it and let's confess it like we mean it. It was funny in prayer this morning. We were confessing and worshiping some things about God, and Barrett was saying them, and everybody praying, she'd be like, you know, Lord, you are greater than the greatest. And everybody goes, Lord, you are greater than the greatest, you know. And we were laughing about it, you know, because it reminded me of Eeyore, you know, like sitting to the side. Oh, Lord, you're greater than the greatest. So I don't want any Eeyores in this. Amen. No Eeyores. Turn to your neighbor and say, no Eeyore today.
No Eeyore today.
Say, I'm not an Eeyore.
I'm not an Eeyore.
Are you?
Are you?
No. Amen. All right. You ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'll never be the same.
I'm about to receive
the incorruptible,
indestructible,
ever-living seed
of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
Never, never, never.
Amen.
I like that.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You receive that?
Yes.
Glory to God. I just thought I'd check. Amen. There's something about that. There's something about it. It's our Bible. It's not just a book. It's something about it. It carries the power of the living God. It is the life of God for us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And let me tell you something. Your Bible is filled with the life of God for you. Your Bible is filled with the life of God for you. You ever feeling beat down, depressed, beat up, you know, hungry, you know, in lack? You need to get in the Bible. The Bible is filled with words that'll pull you right out of that if you will open up your heart to that. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I just want to tell you something. But we're talking today about thrust in the sickle, all right? Thrust in the sickle. Does everybody know what a sickle is? It's not as well known today as it used to be. But a sickle was a tool. Actually, a lot of people may know it from the old Russian flag. Their symbol for communism was a hammer and a sickle that represented the working party. But the sickle was used all over the world and still is to this day to help reap the harvest, to cut. They would take like a bough of wheat and cut that wheat. Now, it's basically a handle and then a hook. I'm going to show you one here in a second. A handle and a hook. And a lot of people think that you're cutting like this, like swinging and cut, but that's not really what it is. You thrust that, I'm going to show you. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and let's get that video ready. With the sickle, what you do is you'll thrust that sickle into the wheat, and then you'll basically grab the wheat, and then as you pull that sickle to you, it cuts it. Now you have your wheat already bound up in your hand. So the sickle was a tool of agriculture that allowed them to take the harvest at a quicker speed, actually be healthy to their crops, and it did a lot of good. It was a tool. And so we see talk about the sickle sometimes in the Word, and we're going to be talking about that today. Thrust in the sickle. So let's go ahead and let's look at that video. And this doesn't have any sound, but you can see these ladies, they're harvesting, and you'll see her stick her the edge of that sickle in there, and then she pulls it and harvests that. You see that? She'll stick the edge of it in there, and then she'll do a quick motion with her wrist, and she's harvesting. And they're just gathering that harvest, gathering. Now, we have these big machines today that allow us to do a big field in a matter of just a few minutes. All right, start that from the beginning again, just so they can see it. We have these big machines today. But in Bible times, this is the way that they did it. There's also something called a scythe. It's S-C-I-T-H-E, scythe. And that's a lot of times what you'll see. Unfortunately, the way we know that is the picture of the Grim Reaper, and he's holding a stick, and on the end of it's a big long knife. That's how most people know what a scythe is. So in some verses that we'll look at, it says sickle, but it can also be scythe, which we'll talk about that later this year because it's going to be important. But today we're just going to focus on the sickle. So what they'll do is they'll take that sickle into the harvest, and then they'll pull it and cut that harvest like that. So I wanted you to see this video. That's good. Now, I want to talk to you before we jump into that too much. We literally at Boomerang, we turned 10 this week. This is our birthday week. Glory to God. We're in double digits. Hallelujah. 6 years later, we can drive places. Glory to God. And, so anyway, we turned 10 this week on the 11th. January 11th, 2009, we started and had our very first service in our living room. And so this year, it's interesting because we went through this process of time, and just in a short way of telling you this, from 2009 to 2016 was a foundational period of time. And then in 2016, we really had found out who we were, what we were doing, and how we were doing it, and empowered by God to do it. At that time, we received the new vision. Go ahead and put the vision slide up there. At that time, we received the vision. It said, Boomerang Church, a house of love and prayer, living in abundance, winning souls, and making disciples for Jesus. So at that year, at the beginning of 2017, the end of 2016, we received that vision from the Lord. And I'm telling you, 2017, things changed. It just changed. Why? Because we had new vision. We had new vision. Now, and then in 2017, I mean, we had always had fruit. We had always had some things, but things took a tick up. And then in 2018, what we had done in 2017 multiplied, and we just went boom like this. And honestly, our goal, like one of our focuses was to reap the harvest of souls that God set before us as a body to reap, to be very focused on winning souls and making disciples. And so we started setting goals. Lord, listen, let me tell you something. How many people are believing God for something? Are you actually extending your faith with, don't raise your hand, are you extending your faith for those goals? Do you have goals to, in other words, who wants to be a soul winner? Who wants to win souls? All right, now here's a question. You want to win souls, but do you have yet, or are you even seeking for a goal personally to win souls this year? Because if you don't have a goal, Lord, how many souls do you want us to win? You probably won't hit it. You know, I can tell you before 2017, we won, you know, generally about 100 souls or so each year, but I can't tell you how many we won exactly because we didn't really have a goal for it. We were just kind of let it happen, right? But then in 2017, we said, we're winning souls. We have a 20-year goal to win souls. You want to know what that is? 20-year goals. We are committing to go after and win 20 million souls in 20 years.
Amen.
Now, you may look around and go, how in the world is that possible? Well, you just have to trust God. You've got to operate in supernatural faith. And the reason we have 20 million as a goal, see, you're like, Albemarle? 20 million, Albemarle. Well, we don't just operate here.
Right.
We don't just operate here. This year, we had ministry in the Philippines. We had ministry in Nigeria. We sent the gospel through the internet all over the world.
Yep.
We don't just operate here. Not only that, but we influence other believers to win souls too. Our goal is to influence people around the world to win 20 million souls in 20 years. Now, that's a big goal. When the Lord first told that to me, I went, okay, I don't know how, but the Lord said, look, just start. I said, okay, for 2017, how many souls do you want us to win? How many do you want us to have as a goal? How many do you want us to have as a goal? He said, 500. He gave us a plan. How many do you want us to have? 500. Okay, in 2017, we're going to win 500 souls to the Lord. We kicked off our life groups that year. In the first month, we had like 30-something, maybe 60-something souls that came. Over the course of the year, we had won over 350 to the Lord. Now, we didn't hit our mark, but guess what? We hit more than we had ever hit before. It was over 350. That's 350 we wouldn't have hit if we would not have applied faith for that, if we wouldn't have stretched out our faith for that. Here's the thing. We believed God put people in our path that we can lead to the Lord. And now I'm telling you, we don't just need to do that as a body, but on Monday morning, you should be asking the Lord, Lord, put somebody in my path today that I can lead to you, that I can lead to commit to you. I want somebody that I can witness to, somebody that I can lead to a higher walk with you today. And the Lord will do it. If you put out faith on Him, He'll do it. Well, so we hit that goal, and it wasn't 500, but we weren't discouraged. We just said, hey, we hit more than we probably would have without it. All right, what's our goal in 2018? Our goal in 2018 was to double what we did in 2017. So do we go double 350? No, we're going to double the 500 that was original. We're going for 1,000 in 2018. Right? So now we're stretching ourselves, right? We're stretching ourselves. Well, would you put up the number of how many souls we had in 2018? Hey, we made up for the 350 miss, which wasn't really a miss. 2,586 commitments to Christ in 2018. Right here. This body. Why? Because we set a goal. And we extended faith. Lord, we're trusting you to bring us that. Now I'm praying right now, Lord, what do you want us to do in 2019? Because we have a choice right here. And you know, some people will say, well, do the bigger. I need to hear from the Lord. You know, our next goal for this year was 2,000. But that kind of seems low to me now. Kind of seems on the low scale after we had 2,500. So I'm wondering if we should bump it up to 5,000, just go on and go out there, you know, hey, and thrust out into the harvest, you know. So I'm praying and I'll hear from God and He'll tell me. And that's what part of this prayer and fasting is, to hear the word of the Lord. Because if I can hear the word, I'll have all the provision we need to go get it, right? So that's why we're praying and fasting. Now, in this, I'd like for you to, part of what happened in all of this is He gave us a new vision starting in 2017. But then at the beginning of last year, He gave us a new vision called Victory Nights. And in Victory Nights, matter of fact, if you can pull up the, that wasn't in the schedule, find the Victory Nights image and get ready to put that up. So he gave us an image, a vision for Victory Nights. And Victory Nights was this, that we would go out into our area, into the region around Albemarle, and we would win people to the Lord, bring them to the Lord, but then support them as well and bring them to that place. Another thing that we're doing in the Soul Count is we're going to make an app that will be a way to help teach people how to win souls and for them to enter and register them all around the world, where they can have an app that basically they can watch videos on how to win souls. They can pull up and say, just read off a script and help win somebody to the Lord. So we're looking to do that this year, is to make an app. All it is money. We just pay a company. They'll make whatever we want them to make, right? But we want to put that tool in people's hands all over the world that teaches them how to be a soul winner and how to win souls. Now, here's one of the things that happened with this new vision. You got that ready? Okay, so with Victory Nights, not that one, but the swirl. With Victory Nights, that's one logo. Victory Nights, one of the things that we're doing is we're looking at, the Lord said, I want you to go. I was in a meeting and the Lord showed me a vision, and in that vision, I saw a red swirl starting at the top of Albemarle and spiraling outward like this. And I knew that that was every city within an hour and a half, every city or town, basically over about 1,000 people, we would go into, love on that community, and win the lost, win those souls, bring in those people that would say, I need to go after God. I need to hunger for Him. And if I do, He'll bless me. We want to bring the blessing into that area. So we started with Rockwell, and then we did Norwood and Troy, and some of you met us there, and that's why you're here today. But look, this is vision not just for Pastor Brian, this is vision for you. But it takes diligent work and diligent effort to make that happen. This is vision. This is God saying, I'm going to open up a door for you. I'm going to open up a door, and you, when you step through that door, you have a ministry in front of you that's big, that's wide. All right, there you go. See the Victory Nights? So we started. Now what we're doing is every single month, we're seeking to do every month or so, depending on how the Lord leads us. But once a month, we want to be in a city and we want to go out there. We want to draw in people that might not know the Lord or might just need to be more blessed. And we want to give them Jesus. And God's showing up. God's healing people right on the spot. He's delivering them. They're getting born again. And that's what's happening. So you need to support that. If you're a part of Boomerang, this is a part of your vision. But what God has done is He said, hey, you want some ministry? You want to be about my business? You want to do what I call important? He says, here's a door. And He did that, and He opened up the door to us through ministry to go and do some things. Now, in that moment, something happens. Let's go, this verse isn't on your handout, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 16:9. Now, have y'all ever heard of a guy named the Apostle Paul? I hope so, because I talked about him just a minute ago. So, I talked about him in Acts 13 when God opened a door to him when he was released to go and start founding churches, and he became an apostle. He was separated to be an apostle. At that point, here's one of the things that happened. He had a vision called the Macedonian vision. In the Macedonian vision, God opened up a door of ministry, and there were people from Macedonia. In that vision, he heard the Lord say, come over here. We need the word, right? And so Paul said, I got to go. He said, I tried to go to Asia multiple times, but the Lord would not let me. The Holy Ghost would not let me, right? He said, I got to go to Macedonia. And so he went to Macedonia and started opening churches all over the place. The Lord opened up a door. Now, I'll tell you, when I saw that vision of the spiral that you saw minute ago. Here's what I saw. Each one of those, I knew in each one of those cities, at the same moment I saw that spiral, I felt the people in those cities saying, "We need the word." I felt it. I sensed it. So what was that? It's very similar to what Paul was receiving. It was a door opening. But I want you to see something. 1 Corinthians 16:9. What happens when you open a door? 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a wide door, this is Paul speaking, for a wide door of effective service has opened to me. Now, effective service is ministry. A wide door. We're not talking about a little door. A big door opened to me for effective service. But look what went along with the door. And there are a couple of adversaries. As Deb said, there's a whole pile of them. There are many adversaries. Why? Why would there be adversaries? God opened the door. Why would there be enemies there? Well, because he's got an enemy. And he does not want to see you do what you're called to do. Boomerang, he doesn't want to see you do what you're called to do. So how many people have felt the adversary over the last few months? Right? Well, do you think that's coincidence? No, God opened a wide door. Now, here's the thing. Many people, I just heard a testimony just this week of where somebody started showing up where they were supposed to be showing up, and every time they did, they got sick. But the problem is, and so because they kept getting sick every time they showed up where they needed to be, they backed away from where they needed to be. That's not the way to do it. You got to understand that that sickness is an adversary trying to keep you away from the very thing you're doing right. And what you do is you say, "No, this is right. The Holy Spirit's ministered it to my heart. I'm planted here. We got a vision. We got an open door. I'm not backing up. I'm pressing through. I'm pressing through." And when you understand that, all of a sudden you'll get on the winning side of things more often than not, right? You'll go to the victory and not keep having to go around the mountain. Anybody ever gotten to a place and then you backed up and then you go down through life a little bit further and you realize, "I'm at the same place again. I'm at the same place again." Well, the only way to stop that is when you get to that place next time, you press through. You press through, right? You've got to learn to press through in that moment. When the adversary, when many adversaries come, you must learn how to press through. Why? Because you know everything's right? No, because God said this is what I'm supposed to be. See, here's the thing. I can have many adversaries, but I can't change what God told us to do. And if you think that the many adversaries is going to stop this pastor from doing what God said to do, you got another thing coming. I ain't stopping. Right. I'm not stopping. Right. But it ain't that I didn't feel the many adversaries. Matter of fact, I'm going into 2019, and I know, logically, this is the best year Boomerang's ever seen. And we ain't even had it yet. But I'm telling you ahead of time, this is the best year we have ever seen. And last year was the best year we'd ever seen. And last year was also. This year is the best year we've ever seen. But I think it's going to be like multiplied. But that is not how I was feeling. Going into 2019, you ask Nicole. That is not how I was feeling. You know how I was feeling? I don't want to do a thing. I don't even want to go to church. I'm the pastor. I know. Hush, Nicole. That's how I was feeling. Now, you got to understand something. Is that the pastor that y'all know? No. And it's not. It's not me. Then why would I be feeling like that? Because there's many adversaries, and it's a demonic attack trying to stop you from what you're called to be. Much of what you've been facing is a demonic attack trying to stop you from the wide door that's presented to you here in this body. And you need to recognize it. You need to see it. You need to put on the fruit of the Spirit every single day. You need to walk more than you ever have in love, joy, peace, hope, right? You need to walk in these things. You need to purpose yourself to forgive. You need to purpose yourself to be gentle with people. You need to purpose yourself to be a soul winner. You need to purpose yourself to confess and be faithful in everything that you do. You need to purpose yourself to do these things. When I was going over to the Philippines earlier this in 2018, last year now, it was interesting because I was talking to Pastor Tracy Harris, one of my spiritual fathers, and I was talking to him, and he travels a whole lot with Brother Copeland, a lot. And I was talking to him in the Philippines. I got on FaceTime in the airport in Shanghai. And I said, Pastor Tracy, this point in my life right now, standing in this airport, I'm probably going to go and fulfill one of the greatest calls that the Lord has ever called me to go to. And standing here today, I am probably at the greatest spiritual place in my life that I've ever been at. That day I was. And I was sitting there going, and I have sensed the anointing stronger than it's ever been in my life today in this airport. But I'm telling you, I'm getting on the plane in Shanghai to go to the Philippines in just a few minutes. And I feel like a nobody. I mean, I feel like a complete nobody. Like I'm almost having thoughts like, what am I doing here? Who am I? I mean, I feel like I barely even know God. Like I know Him, but I feel like I just know Him. I don't feel anointed. I don't feel called. I don't even feel like getting on this plane. And I knew this, but He confirmed it as well. He said, Brian, that is a demonic attack to stop you from the call that you... I said, well, let's pray. And he prayed. And listen, when he prayed, I knew that it had broke. But at the same... And that's why we need spiritual fathers in our lives. We need somebody who carries an authority. Yes. We need people that carry an authority over our lives. And I said, I knew that it broke, but I'm going to tell you, all of the feelings didn't lift, all right? Now, some of you know the story, but in that trip, I went on to preach. There was over 600 people that committed to Christ on that trip. And there was people, I mean, the fire of God touched people. One pastor, he came up and I prayed for him, and he fell out. He was like the older pastor that was kind of watching everything. And they had concrete floor, and it wasn't just smooth concrete floor. It wasn't smooth concrete. It was like rough concrete. And in that rough concrete, you know, he falls out. And I'm like, well, that's cool, because I've had people fall out before, you know. And but then here's what happened. He went and he got his family, and he brought his wife up to get prayer. He brought his sons and his daughters up to get prayer. He brought his grandkids. He said, what that guy's got, I want in my family. Well, what a witness, what a testimony. And then one time he was sitting there. And he was sitting there a day later, and I, you know, one of the things I've been believing God for is that the glory of God would become so strong and the anointing would become so tangible that the presence come and the anointing coming off me, you would feel it, right? You would feel that thing, and it would start healing, and it would, because, well, you're young in the faith, or you're struggling with your faith. I don't care. I'm here, and I'm carrying God, and God's in me, and I'm in Him, and it shouldn't matter what you're at. I should carry an anointing that would bowl over that. That's what every believer, not just Pastor Brian, that's what every believer should be carrying, a glory, a presence, a spear of the glory and the fire of God. And I've been believing God for that more and more. And so As I was doing that, he was sitting over to the side and I was ministering. And all of a sudden, like if he was where that plant was, he was sitting on a chair. And I came over here about 5 feet from him. And about that time, he fell out. He fell out of the chair by the glory of God. And he just went like this. Boom, and then slid slowly across that rough, rough concrete. I'm like, you know that was God. You ain't no fake courtesy drops on that concrete in Jesus' name. You know, it was the anointing of God. In that same trip, now remember, in Shanghai, I felt nothing. Matter of fact, I felt in the negative. I felt in the negative, but yet in this, that's not who I was. It was a demonic attack. Many adversaries, because of the door that had been opened. You got to understand what's going on, and you don't turn around at the door. Now, why does he send it adversaries? And Pastor Tracy, the other day, he called me and he said this. He said, "You've been on my heart and mind." I said, "That's good. I needed to be on somebody's heart and mind." And he laughed. And he said, listen, Brian, he said, this door, he shared with me this verse here that I'm giving you this morning. And he said, here's the thing. He said, have you ever gotten a package like at Christmas or your birthday and there's like an air compressed, like they suck the air out of a mattress or out of a comforter or something like that. And you open that bag and it goes, you know, like this. And your first thought is, I ain't returning that in the same box to Amazon. That ain't getting back in the box. There ain't no way. He said, you got to understand, the devil knows that when, listen, Boomerang, the devil knows that when you step through the door that's been opened, he ain't getting you back in that door. So he's going to do everything he can to keep you out of that. Boomerang, it's not just me, it's you. He's calling you through a door, a wide door of ministry called Victory Nights, called Boomerang Church, who will affect a region and a state and the world. This is our year. Yes. Now, here it was in Shanghai. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling a thing. I mean, I'm not feeling a thing. You feel that anointing? Glory to God, I feel it. Yeah. Hallelujah. In Shanghai, I'm not feeling a thing. But that didn't mean I didn't have something with me. Right. It didn't mean I wasn't carrying something right with me. All it meant was I was under attack, demonic attack. And I told, when Pastor Tracy called the other day, I said, "Here's funny, Pastor Tracy." I said, "The same feeling I had when I was going to the Philippines, I feel it right now." It's the same attack trying to stop us from going through the door, stop us from our call, to stop us, because he knows once we step through. Let me continue telling you about the Philippines. So I step into that place and I'm preaching, and this is what I'm preaching. I'm up on the platform, which wasn't as nice as this one, believe it or not. And I'm up on the platform and I'm preaching. And I'm preaching about shaking the whole region. I'm preaching about the power of God coming in and shaking that city, shaking that region. I'm preaching, you guys are carrying the fire of God and the life of God. And I'm telling you, you're going to shake a region. You're going to shake a nation. You're going to do it. And all of a sudden, they started looking at me wide-eyed. And I was like, and I'm preaching, and I'm like thinking while I'm preaching, what are they thinking? What are they doing? I'm like, what is going on? What? Why? Like, they're looking weird. And I'm preaching, and they're going, I'm like, glory to God. How? And I'm finally like, what? And I'm, because they're looking, most of them are looking like right over my shoulder right here, right? And I'm thinking, I mean, I've been believing God for some stuff. Like, is there an angel there or something? I would, like, they look weird, but I don't, what are they seeing? And I'm like, I'm, what are you guys doing? And what was I preaching about? Shaking the nation, shaking that, right? They said, and they pointed to the screen, which was on a stand, and the screen was shaking like this. It was an earthquake right while I was preaching. As a point, they had an earthquake, 6.2 earthquake, no damage, no lives lost. But when I stopped from preaching, I could feel it. I was like, "Ooh, that's weird," you know. And I know why they were looking funny, you know. I was like, and I thought, glory to God, that's the Lord. We're shaking it now. You see, the earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when the sons of God, the children of God, will step into their calling and step through that door, then right at that moment, the earth must respond to what they're up to. It's not the earth that has the authority. It's the children of God by Jesus, by God. And when a child of God steps into that call and he does the things, he does the work of the ministry that's opened up to him, things have to shake. Yeah. They shift. Matter of fact, it says over in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says that he will tell the earth, and I could explain this later, but he tells earth and heaven to respond to what the children of God say and do. Yeah. He tells it in Deuteronomy 30:19. So, and another part of, I went to another place there in the Philippines, and the power of God's sitting there. I'm preaching. People, the holiness of God comes into the place. People are just, they're wailing under the presence of God and the conviction of the Holy Ghost. My interpreter, falls out. I'm preaching. And I see my interpreter, and my interpreter is getting woozy, you know, like, ooh. I'm standing over here, and I'm like, man, he ain't going to make it. I was like, he ain't going to make it now. And I'm like, go, and I got to catch my own interpreter because the power of God, again, on concrete, he's falling out under the glory of God. I ush in the middle of preaching, you know. I was a good usher. I was like, I'm going to need another interpreter. Hopefully somebody out there understands what I just said. And hopefully there is one. But the power of God was so present. But did I feel like that in Shanghai? No. Did I even feel special while I was preaching? Not necessarily. I mean, I would sense the anointing, but my feelings are different from sensing by the Holy Ghost. And so what I'm saying is, boomerang. People attached to this ministry, you're coming through a door. Amen. And there's many adversaries, but they've already lost. Yep. Yeah. As long as you keep going, they've already lost. Yep. We've already opened the package beyond the door, and we will not stop. We will not turn back, and he ain't getting us back in the box. He ain't shipping us back to God. The devil's not shipping you back to God. No, we're shipping his tail off somewhere. It's called a lake of fire, right? That's what we're about. This is what we're after. Now, I want you to understand that this is the year to thrust in the sickle. It's not the year to back up. It's not the year to be afraid. It's the year to thrust in the sickle. Amen. Look at this verse, Revelation 14:15. It's on your handouts. Revelation 14:15. It says, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap harvest, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, this, I want you to see a couple of things. Thrust in the sickle is doing the work. Now, there's been several things that have happened for you to be able to thrust in the sickle. There had to be seed sown. There had to be watering. There had to be people that would care for the field, that would plow the field before the seed was sown. There had to be a lot of work. And so the harvester, the reaper, they're benefiting from the work that came before, whether they did it or not. Somebody did it before. But then when it comes time for the harvest, for the reaping, the reapers must still, you know, I can look at a field and it's ripe for harvest, but if I don't thrust in the sickle, no harvest. But if I will do the work, if I will thrust in the sickle into that harvest, then I will receive the harvest. Here's something I want you to see. When we do the work, The harvest is right there equal with the thrusting. You thrust the sickle, you have the harvest. You thrust the sickle, you have the harvest. This is our year to thrust in the sickle. I'm telling you this, this is your year for harvest. This is your year to turn it around. This is your year. We're going to talk more about that in a second. I want you to see something. One of the best examples I ever saw or heard about is something that I'm going to show you today. I don't know who did it originally. Maybe Francis Chan. I think he did it at one point. But I want you to see something. And Johnny, if you'll help me here. All right. So, this... Definitely want you to zoom in on this. This is a rope. And you see this rope. What you see on here is this marked piece of the rope here. You see this marked piece of the rope? See, it's blue. Can you see that? This piece of the rope that's marked represents our life here on this earth. This represents the 120 years that God's promised us here on the earth. But the rest of this rope represents eternity. Yeah. While we're on this earth, what portion of this rope do we pay attention to? The blue part, the marked part. We pay attention to right now. But when we read the Bible, we find out this. We find out that what we do in this marked part, in this small portion, affects the whole rest of eternity. Is that it? The whole rest of eternity. What we do in this marked portion affects the whole... Let me pass through here. The whole rest of eternity. Every part. Look, just this little portion here. The little portion affects everything else from here throughout eternity. And guess what? This rope is not a good example of eternity because it's got a finite end. This is just actually the whole rope would represent the beginning of eternity. But what we do here will affect our rewards and everything that we receive and do for the rest of eternity. How much should we do here if that affects everything beyond that? How important now is our being obedient to God when this rope goes so far? I mean, we're talking about this little portion affects all of this. How important are your days given to the Lord versus given to the world? How important are your nights going to bed with scripture instead of other worldly stuff? How important is it that we give God, especially give Him that portion? Like when you start looking at that and everything that's called for me, I want all of this blessed because I did the right things in that portion. But listen, if you don't do the right things in this portion, this is Bible. You don't do the right things in this portion and you give yourself to God, there's pieces of this that will not have what God wants you to have because you played games in this portion. There's a time to thrust. The fields are white unto harvest. And there's a time to receive the rewards. And there's a time to thrust. Look, the rewarded time, it far outweighs the little bit of time, the vapor that we have here on earth. But we've got to understand the difference between all that. That was impressive that actually worked. We've got to understand the difference. We've got eternity laid out in front of us. What are we doing in the thrusting period? What are we doing in the time to reap the harvest? What are we doing with our lives? Are we growing? What are we doing? Listen to this. The word says this, Proverbs 11:30. Let's turn there and look at it. This is my Bible. Proverbs 11:30. What it says I can have, I can have. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. The Bible says the one who's figured out to win souls, that's a wise person. To set souls as a priority. The one who's decided, I'm going to win souls, that person is wise. In other words, guess what? If we're not a soul winner, guess what that means? We're not wise. Well, as a church, we finally wised up. Glory to God. Right? We finally wised up. Lord, we're going to be about your business. We're getting those 20 million souls. We're getting those this year. We're getting those thousands of souls that you told us to. You've given us a plan. You've shown us how to do it. Guess what else? Part of the plan that we're putting into practice, we're figuring out the bugs. Why? Because then we can pass it on to other churches all around the globe to win souls. So we're not just winning souls once. We're multiplying and duplicating ourselves and replicating ourselves around the world. Because I've already got people saying, teach me how you do what you're doing. Amen. Teach me how you do what Boomerang's doing. Amen. Why? Because we're working it out. Because God gave us a vision. He opened up a wide door for us. And he who wins souls is wise. Now, why is that wise? Why is that person wise? Well, one, you have set yourself after the heart of God. You set yourself after the heart of God. Anybody who sets himself after the heart of God, that's a wise person. In other words, you got to understand that God, one of the most important things ever to him during this period of time is souls. He wants to see people come into the kingdom and become disciples. He wants to see people. But listen, it takes work. You can't have a harvest without the thrusting of the sickle. You've got to have an action. You've got to put work in. You can't be super spiritual and be like, well, I'm just going to pray about it. How are you going to pray about it and the person never gets born again if everybody's praying? And it's not that prayer's weak. It's that somebody's got to wake up. I remember one time I had a thing and we were going out soul winning and I had a couple of people that said basically, well, y'all go win the souls. We're going to stay here and pray. I would have dismissed them of their leadership immediately today based off of what I know. I was young then. I didn't know. No, you get out here and reap with us. That generally is somebody's either one, super spiritual, or two, they're scared and they just don't want to talk about it. It's time to get over that fear, to step through that door and be who God's called us to be. To stop making excuses for it. How many people have ever been scared to win souls? Now notice, my hand's up. You know why? Because I have been too. Guess what? This may surprise you. I still feel that. You know why? Because the devil's trying to resist the heart of God. He's going to constantly do it. Why? Because he's God's enemy. It's just that I stop paying attention to it. I feel the pressure to not do it, and I don't care. Because, devil, I know who it comes from. Shut up. I'm going to be bold. Yep. Be bold, like Johnny prayed this morning. To be bold. I'm going to step out and be the soul winner God's called me to be. Now see, preaching like this, it'll convict you. It's like, I haven't been doing that, you know. Or if you've been doing it, like you're an amen, glory to God, that's right, you know. And if you've already made up your heart, then you don't have any conviction over that. But if you haven't been doing it, then you'll probably have some conviction. And you got to decide, what are you going to do with that conviction? Are you going to let that conviction make you mad at me for being the messenger? All I'm doing is giving you scripture. Or are you going to say, that conviction's here for a reason, right, to empower me to change? What are you going to do? See, the people that do great and mighty things for God are the ones who will take the convictions of God and they will act on them. They won't make excuses for them. They'll act on them. are we going to be about the Father's business? Look at this verse, John 4, 31 through 36. Why is somebody wise that wins souls? Well, one, they're paying attention to the heart of God. They're making what's important to Him important to them. And verse 36 or 31, you see this. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat," talking to Jesus. They recognize that Jesus hadn't eaten in a while. They recognize that Jesus hadn't eaten in a while. So what happens? They say, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about. I have food to eat that you don't know about." Right? "I have food to eat that you don't know about." "Rabbi, eat." He says, "I got some food and you don't know about it." Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me to accomplish His work. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me to accomplish His work." In other words, when I will do what Christ wants me to do, there's a food, there's a nourishment, a supernatural nourishment you don't know about. I'm telling you right now, there's pieces of our lives that we have not received the provision because we've not been doing the will of the Father. But if we will do the will of the Father, there's a supernatural provision that gets to us, and all of a sudden it starts handling things in our lives. It starts handling them. He says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest." The fields are white for harvest. Now, how do we know this is true in the spiritual sense? Because the Lord gave us a vision. Because the Lord opened up a door. When He opened up a door and He gave the vision, He was saying, there's a harvest for Boomerang to go and get. There's a harvest, a great door of ministry for you to step to. You don't have to look with your physical eyes and see that it's ripe for harvest. You know it's ripe because He's given vision for it, and didn't last year just prove it. We stepped through that door and we went from believing God for 1,000 to receiving over 2,500. The fields are white for harvest. They're ready for the harvest right now. And He says this, "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for life eternal." Gathering fruit for life eternal. "So that he sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Now there's two things that are happening. Let me see this, the end of it. There's two things that are happening. One, we're receiving eternal lives into eternity. But here's the other thing. It says the one who reaps... The one who reaps, who receives the harvest, who reaps the souls, who wins souls is wise. The one who reaps is already receiving wages now in this time, and he's receiving eternal fruit in that eternal rewards. He's receiving rewards in this place, and he's receiving the joy of the Lord along with the Lord for souls that are won. He's saying, "Lord, I'm with you. I feel what you feel, and I'm praising God. I'm praising you because these people will be with you for all eternity, because that person is not paying attention to the now. They're paying attention to the eternity of God." I think right now, aren't y'all going into your life group going into the Driven by Eternity? Isn't that right? Glory to God. Talk about a timely message. Talk about a timely message. Being driven by eternity and not just driven by the now. Right? Now, look at John 4:36, the same verse, but let's look at it in the New Living Translation. Now look at this, and don't just read it and hear it. Open up, look at what it really says. John 4:36, New Living. Why he that wins souls is wise? Why? How many people would like to have more wages in their life right now? How many people would like to have better finances? Even if you got all your bills paid and you're in overflow, how many people would like to do even more in the kingdom of God? I'd like to be able to give more, more, more. Well, listen, here's how you do it. Listen to this. The harvesters are paid good wages. And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit that they bring are people that are brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both planter and harvester alike. What joy, I wanted that left out there. What joy awaits the planter and the harvester alike. What joy awaits them in eternity, the people who plant the seeds and the harvesters alike, who during this period of time don't pay attention just to their flesh and what the flesh wants to do, but they pay attention, Lord, what do you want to do during this vapor of time? Because this is just a vapor of time. And in this eternity, there's a joy that awaits me because I will be about your business. I will be about your business. What joy awaits? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you seek first the things of God, he says, I'm going to add everything to you. I'm going to add everything to you. And what things is he talking about? He's talking about everything people need. Right before this, he's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about physical stuff. He's talking about anything you need. He says, if you'll be about my business, if you'll be about my business here during this time, I'll add everything that you need. In the New Living, look at what it says in the New Living. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Hear this, Boomerang. Hear this morning. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. This is a promise from God. It's a promise. You've got to make up your mind. Who am I in this kingdom? Am I a child of God empowered with supernatural power, or am I the guy who feels like he's got nothing? Well, I may feel like I got nothing, but that's not who I am. I'm carrying something. You're carrying something. You're carrying something. You're carrying something if you know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you can carry a supernatural power of God that the world doesn't understand. If you know Jesus, then you can receive his inheritance. You can walk. Your bills can start to be paid. You can walk in divine health. You can see your family restored. You can have the husband that you need to have. You can have the wife that you want to have. You can have the children that you... Life can be the way it's supposed to be. It's all in Jesus. We live and move and have our being through Christ, in him. But we've got to decide, who am I? What am I going to be? Am I going to be the one that I allowed the many adversaries to beat me back? Or do I know, because of Christ, I'm going to make it? Because of Jesus, everything's going to turn around. Because of my Lord, I'm going to walk in his victory. The same verse in the Message says this. Listen to this. Steep your life in God reality. Steep your life. Do you know what steep means? Steep is like tea, where you'll drop in the tea bag. That's the modern way of steeping. That's not how they used to do it, but we'll use that. You drop the tea bag in. Do you have tea right away? No, you got to wait a few minutes. You got to let that tea bag steep in the hot water so that the hot water will draw all of the flavors out of it. Steep yourself, steep your life in a God reality. In other words, get yourself in God and let the sweet aroma and flavors of God infiltrate your life. Steep yourself, your life in a God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. When you will go after God and make what's important to him important to you, you'll find that God will take care of everything else. The key is my heart given to him or is it given to me? Is my heart given to him or is it given to somebody else? Where's my heart? I'm getting ready to pray for some people and just have some words that the Lord's given me. When Pastor Tracy called me, he shared something with me. He shared a vision that he had had. And I'm going to just tell about that. But I just want you to start receiving right now. You know, I don't raise your hand, but I know there's people like you've got needs right now. You need answers. You need wisdom. You need provision. You may have had provision, but you know God's calling you to a higher provision. God's calling you to advance the kingdom with an abundant provision. God's calling you to build the kingdom with abundance, to do every good work. You may know, hey, I've got some needs. I don't have abundance at all right now. I just need to pay my bills. You may know right now, I need some help in my family. I need help in me. I know something's off. I know it's been broke. And I just want you right now, just start focusing on God. Remember what that word just said. Steep yourself in God. In other words, just right now, kind of let yourself steep in Him. And the glory is already moving in here. His glory, His power. Pastor Tracy called me and he said, I've had you on my heart. He said, there's something I've been needing to tell you. He said, it's time for me to tell you. He said, going into 2019, he said, each year the Lord generally shares with me something about 2019. He said, this year he shared something with me sooner than he ever had before. He said, it was early in the year. It was in July 19th in 2018. He said, the Lord said this. He said, I had a vision. And in that vision, we were sitting in a meeting, and it was a Holy Ghost meeting. And the Holy Spirit was moving. He said the prophet's anointing was active, which I know what he means by that. He what he's saying is one of the highest authorities in the kingdom was operating in that meeting. So it wasn't just your everyday meeting. It was a high authoritative meeting. He said, and the Lord said this to me. He said, 2019, a year of thrust like no other. And now you know today what he's talking about. 2019 will be a year of thrust like no other. It'll be a year of action and reaping, a year of your action and harvest. How many people want to receive a harvest this year? You want to receive a harvest? Then you've got to be about the thrusting of the sickle. You can't just sit and say, oh God, give me a harvest. Oh God, give me a harvest. It's action and reception. It's action and reception. How can you receive fresh breath if you don't first blow out the old one? You've got an action to release the old so that you can receive the new. Right? You've got to have an action to have the harvest. You want a harvest this year. It's time to be about the Father's business. And the Lord said this to our spiritual father of this house, one of them. He said, 2019, a year of thrust like no other. A year of thrust like no other. A year of thrust like no other in Jesus' name. A year of thrust like no other in the name of Jesus. Ha ha so roko mosabe. Hey mumbulokolamo. Yeah, hey, hey. It's a year of thrust and a year of harvest. Harvest in Jesus' name. Harvest in the name of Jesus. Ha 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 so roho. Hey, hey. Now, if you don't know what's happening here, that's the anointing of God operating and working in her, and she's receiving words and impartation and provision to thrust in the sickle this year. She's receiving the strength, supernatural provision to thrust in the sickle like no other year before it in the name of Jesus. Ha ha, that's the anointing of God. Keep receiving. Now, don't forget where we were at. I'm going to pray and you're going to receive what you need to answer those things in your life. That same anointing that's present there, it'll be present to bring you into that place. It'll be present to bring you to where you need to be, to where you're called to be, to where you're supposed to be. If you don't understand that, remember I said in a Holy Spirit meeting, There's revelation. You've heard that. There's manifestation and joy. That's the Holy Ghost meeting. Ha ha, you're still the little Kanae today. Hey, to me. That's the conviction of the Lord. Come here, Johnny. It's time. It's your year. It's a year of thrust in Jesus' name. Paso no codables. Beta based. Ropum plode ke. Blade ke to base. That's the anointing of God on you. Donamosable. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. He's calling you up. He's calling you higher. It's a year of thrust. It's a year of thrust. It's a year of action. It's a year of harvest in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Joy. 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 There was one more thing very important that Pastor Tracy told me. He said, Brian, that word, he said, let me tell you about it. He said, 2019, he said, 2019, he said, it'll be a year that many people will say, 2019 was my year. That was my year. They'll look back at 2019 and say, that's the year it all changed. Is it your year? Is it your year of thrust and harvest? Is it your year? The year it all changed. The year it all changed. The year it all changed in Jesus' name. The year it all changed. Come here, Deb, ushers, helper. Hey, the year it all changed. It's a word in time, a word in season. The year it all changed in Jesus' name. The year it all changed. Haste, roborom, roboto robos, baby, beta base, base, both Roma, bacadiace. Year it all changed. The year it all changed. 2019 was my year. It was my year. There's something else that he told me about that vision. Yeah, the year it all changed. The year it all changed. The year it all changed. 2019, a year of thrust like no other. Thrust, action, going after the things of God, winning souls, making disciples, giving my heart to Him, dedicating myself to Him, and being in the Word, being in prayer, being in worship, over other things, not watching the news, not watching the TV show, not scrolling on social media, a year to give myself to God, and everything starts to change, a year of dedicating, consecrating myself, a year of thrust like no other. That was my year, 2019. That was my year. Everything changed that year. That's my year. Yeah, Felicia, it's my year. Things change. Things change. Things changing. Year it all changes. Everything goes. Everything. It doesn't mean necessarily a different physical place. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying spiritually wise, everything changes this year. Everything changes in Jesus' name. Even things that you thought were something before. This year, it's different. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. The year, it all changed. By bro, bro, me, kawruf, benin, day, by the roma, tlot, sandy, stay, etenay. The year it all changed. The year it all changed. Chad, Levi, Madabo Rep Academy. The year it all changed. Oh, and this is right for y'all to be standing in front of me as I tell this part of the story. Pastor Tracy said this to me. He said, 2019, a year of thrust like no other. A year of thrust like no other. He said, Brian, here's the thing. He said, everybody under my ministry, Pastor Tracy talking to me, he said, everybody affiliated with us is a part of that word. This can be their year. If they'll grab a hold of that word and make it theirs, it can be their word. And I'm telling you, it can be your word too. If you'll say, hey, that's my year. It is my year of change. Everything's changing this year. Everything, that's the anointing of God is telling you these things are so. Bringing that hope up in your life. The year, everything goes to a higher level. But he said this specifically, and this deals with you guys just as much as everybody sitting here. He said, I'm telling you, Brian, but the Lord has ministered to me. He said, just as much as that word was a word for me and the people there in my ministry, he said, Brian, that was a word for you and Boomerang. In the name of Jesus, a year of change, a thrust like no other. Action be in Jesus' name. And the harvest, and the harvest, and the harvest, in the name of Jesus. Oh, fire of God. Harvest, harvest. Harvest, a year of change in Jesus' name. Let it change your heart. Let it drive you. Let it move you to new places in Jesus' name. Here, Justin. Earlier, I looked over here at you. I was walking, and you were standing there, and the Lord said this to me, that this year, He gave me the beginning of it, so I'm going to be led by the Spirit as I speak it. He said, all this time you've been coming up, but this year will be a year that takes you and you step in. Now listen to this, these words right here, very importantly. You step in humility, you will step to a new place. If you don't do it through humility, if you all of a sudden feel special, if all of a sudden you feel, this is not just for you, it's for everybody. If all of a sudden you feel special because he's blessing you, it won't be the same. But if you'll in humility, God, I'm here because God has blessed me. This year, you will step to another level and you will operate at a level that you didn't even think was available, and God will say, that's just the beginning. That's just the stair step in Jesus' name. That's the first step of what I've called you to. This year is the year it all changes, but it is just the first step of where I'm taking you. The first step. Glory to God. Yeah, anointing of God. Do what the anointing does. Empower. Break free. Rise to new levels. In Jesus' name. And joy. It's not lost. It wasn't a person, it was the Lord. Don't you know that joy of the Lord wasn't a person, it's the Lord. He's the God of all hope, of joy, confidence, and expectation. He's a God of joy. Glory to God. It's not a person. Well, it kind of is a person if God's a person. What are you crying for? Tears of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If I brought Paul right here, he'd receive it too. Now see, I can't do that. You've got to understand, I can't do that. That's the joy of the Lord, bringing strength, supernatural power of God. Aren't you glad? People need joy after I breathe on them with fasting breath. All the people getting prayer before that was like, I wish he would have thought about them breath mints before. I'm not going to bring you over so it doesn't seem evident. He knows how to put his finger right on the issues in our life and take us to new places. But you'll find that he doesn't just bring correction, but he brings the full thing, the fullness of joy as well. Watch. Why would he bring joy at a time like this? Doesn't even make good sense. Glory to God. It's your year. It's your year. It's your year. Can I pray for you? You can just sit right there. Lord, I just pray for all provision to be in Jesus' name. Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, bring your love and wash over her in such a way. I just hear him saying, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to work out. Everything that you had worry and concern over, I've got it. I've had it the whole time. You just needed to turn to me and you would find a loving face, the Lord says. Jesus says, you find a loving face who will work it all out in every way. I've loved you before you were formed in the womb. Even as you were formed in the womb, I knew you and loved you. And I had a plan for your life to do great and mighty things. In Jesus' name. It was no accident that you were here today. You needed to hear that there was hope. And hope is, his name is Jesus. And he'll bring you joy like these crazy people I get to hang out with. He'll bring you joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. You'll laugh, even this week, you'll laugh and be like, what in the world am I laughing at? And then, not only that, but it'll start, you'll have more laughter, and you'll be like, I have been missing this. I laughed as a child, but I needed some now. I needed the same kind of joy in my adult that I had as a kid. And the Lord says, you can have it. Blessed be. Let me see your hand. Blessed be in Jesus' name. See, God's real. I can't make you feel
the way you're feeling now. And that's His anointing that's washing over you and flooding you. It's not just emotion. That's His anointing. I can't do it alone. If it was just me in this room, you wouldn't feel any of that. But it's not. We carry Christ with us. Lord, bring real solutions in Jesus' name. Sister lifeguard. I don't think I'm ever going to forget that. Yeah. Blessing of God be in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for bringing her up to me this week in prayer. Let the blessing of God start to manifest and be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father. Just receive. Just receive. Our supply and our life is in Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our relationship with Him, our relationship with Christ, as it goes in our relationship, it goes in our life. If our relationship is here, then our life will be here because He is life and in Him is life. But if our relationship with Him is here, then our life is going to be here. So we need our relationship to be up here and to stay up here. So we do that right now. You know, even though all of us messed up, every single one of us messed up, we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He loved the world, not just Christians. He loved the world so much that He gave His only Son for us. He gave His only Son. Sorry, I had to pause. He cares about your joy. He loved us so much that He gave His life, He gave His Son for us, and He gave His love for us. And Christ said, I'll give my life for you. In order to get, how many people, if you want life to be up here, how many people want life to be up here? Well, in order to have that, then your relationship needs to be up here. So here's how you do it. Pray with me right now. When you pray, don't let it just be words that you say. Let something come out of your heart and say, I'm connecting my relationship with Christ right now on the level it should be. Just say this with me. Say, Father, right now, my relationship with Christ. Say it with your mouth. My relationship with Christ is brand new. Jesus is the Lord of my life. That means He's the director. He calls the shots and I'm obedient. I believe, Jesus, that You died for me, for my mess ups, for my sins, and that You took those to the cross and to the grave. And I believe that God brought You back to life. And when He raised You up, Jesus, He raised me up. He raised me up from that grave. Now listen to me. We'll finish praying in a second. Right now, what you're saying is, my life's not staying put where it has been. He's lifted me out of that place. He's lifted me out of that death, out of that lack. I'm no longer in the grave anymore with Jesus because He's not there. He lifted. Say, I believe. He raised You up. And when He raised You up, He raised me up. And I am in Him, in Christ, seated in heavenly places with God. Now, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire to walk this life in the way that You'd have me to live it. In Jesus' name. Now keep your head bowed And if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or just even if you prayed it today and I needed to get my relationship where it was supposed to be, if that's you, just raise your hand and let me see it. I want to pray for you. I see those hands. I see those. I prayed that today. I needed to pray that today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see those. If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Or if you know that when you were baptized, it wasn't what it should have been, then let's talk about that, about being baptized on February the 3rd. But I'm telling you, this is your year. It's your year of thrust in the sickle and harvest, the reaping of everything that you have need of this year. This is your year, 2019, your year. Say it with me. Say 2019.
2019.
A year of thrust.
A year of thrust.
Like no other.
Like no other.
And the harvest.
And the harvest.
It's a year of my manifestation.
It's a year of my manifestation.
It's my year.
It's my year.
Now I want you to say it. 2019 is my year. I want you to say it like the louder you say it and the more conviction you say it, the better it will be. The higher and the louder you say it, the better it will be. Okay? You ready? 2019 is my year. Ready? 2019 is my year. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we praise you and we worship you. And we thank you for this day.